Anyway, good morning, and good morning to those who are joining us on Zoom. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and Elaine is going to take us through some intimations.
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. We have Catch with us this morning, too. Right, coffee morning. A big thank you to everyone who supported the coffee morning yesterday and all who helped out. And I'll just read this wee bit just now since it's there. We raised £207 yesterday, which will go to the work of Christian Aid. The theme for Christian Aid this year is the cost of living crisis faced by many across the world. There's also going to be a retiral collection next Sunday for Christian Aid, which is the beginning of Christian Aid Week. There are still some cakes for sale after the service, and the bric-a-brac stall is still there if you want to have a browse. Oh, sorry, I didn't realise that was coming up. Oh dear, can we go back then? But I've missed some bits out. Right, what have I said from that then? Right, Cycling Club. The next C4 outing is on Saturday, the 18th of May. The route is Ochterarder and Muthill. Speak to Derek, 882-190, for more information. The next joint service with our neighbouring congregations is on the 2nd of June, when we will be hosting in Cairnhill. The service will begin at 11 o'clock that day, half an hour early. Walk. The next walk takes place on Sunday, the 19th of May. This is a change of date. We'll be visiting Townhill Loch with the usual coffee stop. Meet in Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. There are further information on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Thank you.
And maybe one just to add to that, if anybody happens to be interest this week, which if you've read my Facebook post, you'll know that I discovered that this week is Demystifying Death Week, which is an unusual title, but what it's there for is to go through a lot of things around the subject of death, which we don't often talk about, and people have said, well, what do you do? So as part of that, Marcia, who is one of the worship leaders down at Limekilns, and quite a number of you will know Marcia. Marcia is a consultant anaesthetist who changed job, I think at the beginning of this year, maybe at the back end of last year, to become a hospital chaplain. And she's worked very much in that sphere. So she's organised an event in Limekilns Church on Thursday afternoon, 2:30 to 4, and we'll have a number of people there who are able to just to go gently through some of the things that we might want to ask about that whole subject. It is a huge subject. So we've got somebody from registry office. We've got somebody who's a funeral director. We've got somebody who is now a retired lawyer. That's Sandy Muirhead, whom a lot of us know. I'll be there, Marcia will be there. So if anybody is interested in finding out things, that's the place to go. So, shall we worship God? We're going to begin our service by singing hymn number 212, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts as a token of our love and of our desire to serve you in the world. Receive and bless all that we offer to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who likes cartoons? Who goes to the cartoons first in the newspaper? Do you get a newspaper? I must be an old person. No, maybe I am an old person. So, the first thing I do when I get the courier is I look at Garfield. You know who Garfield is? And then I look at the cartoons and the puzzle page, because the puzzles and the cartoons are my bit of the newspaper, and it's rumoured that it's the only bit I understand. But there we go. And sometimes it's the only bit that makes you smile in the newspaper, if we think about it. I remember a cartoon when I was quite young. I think it was in the Daily Record, and it was a single panel cartoon, and it always had love is dot dot dot, and then there was some kind of a picture and something underneath. So, what do you think love is? We'll have to ask the older boys and girls. Well, tell me somebody that you might love. Who do you love?
Family.
Your family. That's a good answer. Anybody particularly in your family?
My dogs.
Your dog. What about somebody that might cook your lunch today? That might be a good idea. Because I know a thing called cupboard love. Anybody know that one? Because I remember my son, who I think his greatest love was the fridge. Because the fridge usually got a greeting before anybody else in the house. And I don't know why it was shaped like that. Yes, there's people that we love. So love is. And there's all sorts of things. And sometimes advertising and all that kind of thing. Comes up with things, you know. There was one for Rolos, wasn't there? If you give the last Rolo. And that's a difficult one. The last sweetie. Who would you give your last sweet to? Yourself. Yeah, I'm afraid I probably fall into that category too. So, we're going to be talking in the service quite a bit about love today, because that's at the heart of the passage we're going to read. If I was to ask you, what would you choose as a symbol of love? Or a badge or something you would give? What would you get? What do you think it would be?
A bunch of flowers.
A bunch of flowers? And that is always something to remember. If you want to please mums, grannies, aunties, you know, a bunch of flowers does wonders. That's a note to myself, Karen. Anything else? What's the symbol of love?
A heart,
yes. Because we often see that, I heart, whatever it is.
Cross.
That's what I'm coming to. Why is it it's always somebody from the family?
But you love me all the same.
I do, yes. I saw this sitting on the pulpit as I came in, and I thought, somebody's left me a visual aid. This is the most unlikely symbol of love, because what happened at Easter was horrible. And in this period of time in the year, we think about the disciples and they're looking back to the crucifixion and they're thinking, it was really horrible, but this became a symbol of love in the church. And it says, this is how much God loves us, because Jesus died for us. And there's something about that in the reading, which we'll come to later, where Jesus said that the greatest love you can have is to die for your friends. So his love is stronger than death. And I like the cross because it has two bits to it. And those two bits remind us of what Jesus says to us about love. He says we've got to love God with everything that we are. That long up and down bit. But we show that love by loving each other. So the cross gives us love God with everything that you are and love others. Now, the command there says love others as much as you love yourself. But actually, a far better phrase in the reading, and these are Jesus' words, and he says, love other people as much as I love you. So, the grown-ups in the church are going to be learning more about love in our service today. And you're going to go and do other things. But I think we're going to sing first. And I can't remember what we're singing. Always helps if I know what we're singing. We're going to sing Father God, I Wonder. And of course, that is a reminder of how much God loves us. We'll sing this through twice. Number 186. Alistair is leading us in our prayers this morning.
Maureen and I know a minister's daughter who used to sing to that chorus, I will ping your braces. On that note, let us pray. Father God, we sing your praises. We do indeed wonder how we manage to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. In awe and wonder, we are amazed that you are creator of this vast universe. Yet at the same time, you are our Heavenly Father, who knows each of us intimately and even better than we know ourselves. You created us for your glory, and your heart's desire is that we love you, for you loved us first. Father God, we sing your praises that because of Jesus, through our faith in and acceptance of him as our Saviour, we become your children. We can confidently come before you, calling to you, Abba, Father. We are now adopted in your family, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ, co-heirs with him. Father God, we sing your praises for your promise never to leave us nor forsake us. When we choose to walk with you, we can be assured that you take us by your hand and lead us through life. A love that will not let us go. We will sing of your love and justice. To you, Lord, we will sing praise. As we bring our praise, so too we bring our confession. Forgive us for the angry words we didn't mean to say. Forgive us for the fit of sulks that spoiled a happy day. Forgive us for the rows which happen more and more, the way we hurt the ones we love, the hasty way we slammed the door. Forgive us for our selfishness and all our little sins, and help us to be better when another day begins. Hear now our silent prayers. Hear us now, Father, as we join together in saying these words of prayer together, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And now, a reading from the Psalms, a Psalm of David, Psalm 101, and that passage from John 15. And George is our reader this morning.
As Norman said, our first reading is from Psalm 101, and we're reading from verse 1 to verse 8. I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of the heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbour in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose way of life is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Our second reading, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find in John 15, chapter 15, reading from verse 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Hymn number 318, Lord, you were rich beyond all splendor. Referring back to those cartoons found in the newspaper, there were all sorts of definitions of love, and most of them related to romantic love. Maybe it was that memory that triggered something when I came across a quotation from a book written by Robert Heinlein. The title of the book comes from the Bible. It's the book itself has a phrase from the Old Testament. I didn't even know that until I Googled the title. The quotation begins, "Love is," and comes from the novel Stranger in a Strange Land. This is a phrase from the book of Exodus. The full quotation is there on the screen. "Love is that condition in which the happiness of another or another person is essential to our own." There is something that is attractive in that statement, but it doesn't seem complete. There is an implication that love is to do with pleasing, and it's pleasing the other so that we ourselves are pleased. This is a very human desire that many people have, which is to seek to please. However, to please is not the same as love. For any of us here who have been a child, we will know that our parents have done things out of love that certainly did not please us. As adults, we can look back and say, "I am glad my parents treated me that way," but it didn't please us at the time. And I can certainly hear my mother's voice with a certain sharpness going, "Norman." And those of us who have been parents will know that some of the things we have to ask our children to do out of love are not necessarily things that please them. This raised a very good question in my head. I wondered why I'd chosen a quotation I couldn't use, because I chose it before I sat down to write anything. And then it struck me that I was reading this quotation from a human perspective and forgetting the context of the reading from John's Gospel. Jesus, in the previous passage, has described himself as the true vine and us as those who draw life from Jesus to be fruitful. So what Jesus says is, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." The defining characteristic of God is love. This is perfect love. This is infinite and eternal love. If love is that condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own, and if we define this happiness as seeking to please God, we end up with something quite different. I, as a Christian, though I don't always do it, I long to please God. Jesus makes it clear that to please God is to live in his love and to love others in the same way that God loves us. Jesus' answer to the disciples when they asked to see God the Father is to say to see him is to see God. We think of Jesus as the love of God in human form. If God is love, then Jesus is that love made flesh. By starting with the illustration of God the Father as the gardener or vine dresser, and Jesus as the vine and us as the branches, there is an organic feel to that description. An organic feel to the command to obedience. This is the obedience of being connected through the bonds of love, not through obedience to rules or law. Jesus talks of loving obedience as being at the heart of his relationship with the Father. And Jesus invites us into this same relationship through loving obedience. As Jesus puts it, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." In human terms, happiness is a fleeting emotion. It is of the moment. On the other hand, joy has a feeling that is of much more depth. Now, this might sound a bit like semantics, but we will know that there are times of joy when we were not happy. Maybe the best example of this is when we're going through loss or bereavement. We can feel a real depth of joy at a time when we would not describe ourselves as happy. Another moment might be in having done something to upset someone else and admitting fault, we find that we are forgiven. We're not happy because we know that we've done wrong, but we feel the joy of forgiveness. In the description of the fruit of the Spirit in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he describes the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, and so on. Love comes first, but joy is second and dependent upon love. We have a human tendency to think that obedience is something that leads to reward, and that's a positive. But disobedience is something that leads to punishment, and that's the negative. The rule of love throws that kind of thinking into confusion. We all know the saying, it's the thought that counts. Where the motivation is love, thoughts of reward or punishment are simply not there. Our thought is with the other, the one that we love. In the psalm we read this morning, that psalm of David, we have a statement that links love and justice. Clearly, the promise made by David, his intent is to have justice at the heart of his household because of his love for God. What we know from what is recorded about David is he didn't always manage to do that. He was very human. But however much David got things wrong, his heart was in the right place. So when he was told, "You've made a mess of it," his response was not that of a leader of those days, or maybe a leader of any days. His response was to confess and repent, whether that meant sackcloth and ashes or more. He was ready to say he was wrong because his heart was in the right place. God's love for us is found in Jesus' willingness to die for us. Sometimes, in our attempt to understand what Jesus is doing, Jesus on the cross, we've tended to make this a calculation, a transaction. Jesus' death is the cost of our salvation. Actually, Jesus' death is the cost of his love. The cost of our salvation is how far God will go in his love for humanity, his love for creation. And love is not something that we calculate. Here is the kind of love that transforms a symbol of condemnation and death into a symbol of love and life. The cross has to be the most unlikely of symbols to use for love. It really is the thought that counts. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And then he gives us a command. Love each other as I have loved you. It's not a calculation. It's not a rule where we can keep certain conditions and know we've got it. It's that self-giving that we find in Jesus. It is that love that we find in the Father. And as we travel towards Pentecost, what other could there be if we are to be spirit-filled people, if we are to have the very Spirit of the living God within us, that we are transformed and are a people of love. Amen. We're going to sing what is, in fact, two choruses, and our tendency is to sing this as 619, 620, and then back to 619. So it's the same tune, so we sing three times. It is a prayer. It is asking God to transform us, and it is reminding us that we are to be a people transformed by the love of God. So let's sing Spirit of the Living God. Now our prayers for others.
So let's once more come before God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for making all things beautiful in their time, and for putting eternity into our hearts. Lord, we bring our country before you in a year of electoral change. We pray for the King and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We pray for the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, his government ministers and the leaders of the opposition parties. We We pray for the incoming First Minister here at Holyrood, as well as those at Stormont and Cardiff, along with their governments. We pray that you would bless all our national representatives and our local councillors with wisdom and integrity to restrain evil and promote what is good. We give thanks and pray for Christians serving in our parliaments as civil servants or with responsibilities of public office. Father, we are shocked by the violence we hear of on our news each day. We pray for the family of that young boy brutally cut to death with a sword in London. Comfort them in their deep loss and hurt. We pray for the recovery of the two police officers who also nearly lost their lives, and the two other adults. We pray for their healing, both physical and psychological. We pray that their attacker will face up to his actions and that justice will be seen to be done. Loving Father, we pray for all those whose lives are paralysed by fear. Some fears are real, others seem trivial or imaginary, yet all are real to the sufferer. We pray for those whom the fear of loneliness is looming, especially those who, coming home to an empty house, stand at the door hesitant and afraid to enter. May all who stand in any doorway with fear in their hearts, just like the two on the Emmaus Road, may they ask the living one in. Set free all who are victims of fear. May they put their trust in you. Give them the knowledge of your fatherly care and help them to let go and know the release available in your strength and your peace. By your grace, may they find in loneliness or fear that they are never alone. So bless them with your presence. Dear Father, we bring to you today our Christian brothers and sisters in Vietnam. Some face difficulties because they are your children, while others do not. But we pray that all will be built up in their faith. We pray for those who are denied basic documents and therefore cannot get health care or schooling. We pray for those who are kept under surveillance, intimidated, beaten or imprisoned. We pray for those who are summoned to criticism sessions where they are criticised publicly to try to make them deny Christ. In his name we ask that you will give them endurance, courage and perseverance in abundant measure. And so we now ask you to hear our own individual and personal silent prayers at this time. God of mercy and truth, thank you for the power of your word. Please help us to accept and apply the truths of your inspired word to our lives, teaching us to do what is right, alerting us to what is wrong. Thank you for this priceless gift that the Spirit gives to prepare and equip us to do every good work. By your grace, amen.
We sing now the hymn that is known as Shine, Jesus, Shine, hymn number 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining. God, with the love of God, to love in God's name, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.